Welcome to the To Faithful Men podcast. This project started in 2006 to preserve old sermon and study tapes of Wiley Flanagan, Hassel Wallace, and Mike Strebel. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also."
A few verses in chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, this passage of scripture is one of the most important prophetic scriptures in the Bible. As far as an outline, it begins with Daniel in captivity and takes in the history until the judgment upon the beast and upon the false prophet, and if there and the king of the north, if he is different from the beast. And it's possible that there are three great workers in the end time. But now, this passage, 70 weeks. In the Hebrew, it's 70 heptads, 70 sevens. It could be 70 sevens of anything. It could be 70 days, 70 years, 70 millenniums as far as the word is concerned. So it takes a context to determine whether it's a day of 24 hours, or if it's a week of months, or a week of years, or a week of weeks. Now, you see, the Jews had 7 years, a seven-year calendar based on their Jubilee. That's what came up to the every 7 years. They let the land rest. If you say this is to find out which is the proper term, whether it be days, 70 days, weeks of days, ordinary days, or whether it's 70 weeks of days or months or years, well, you just apply it to the context, to what it said. It tells us here that from tells the time when this period begins, from the commandment, see, in verse 25, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. All right, 7 weeks and 32 weeks. That's, so that makes 49 weeks, 62 weeks. And 7 weeks, you see, is 49 weeks. Now then, 49 weeks must transpire at the coming, or at the ministry, or at the time of the Messiah. Not his death, but sometime, either at his birth, public ministry, or his entry into Jerusalem, or to some event in his life. Because it says, unto, see, the Messiah shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So you add the 62 and the 7 together and you make 69 weeks or 483 days. Well, that wouldn't work because it was over 400 years, don't you see? All right, if you make it months, well, that wouldn't work for the same basis. So, if you make it 70 weeks of 70 years, see, 70 weeks of years, 1 week equal 7 years. 7 times 70 is 490. So, if you date 490 years, start adding, the time the commandment went forth to build and restore Jerusalem. Now, and I pointed out that there were four decrees, four commandments to from the king, from Cyrus, Darius, and Xerxes. All right, Cyrus gave his decree, first decree, in 536. All right, if you take the 536 B.C., 536 years before Christ, plus the 32 years of Christ, his ministry, don't you see? Well, you'd have too many years. It's 490-something. See, the 490 days, or it's 490 7-day weeks, okay, a week of days, or it's a week of years. So, that starting period is not right, regardless of where you place it, see? Because you haven't got the 490 years for this to take place in. And, alright, then the decree of Darius was simply a verification and a confirmation of the decree of Artaxerxes. Well, he gave two at two times. Well, that is Xerxes, 7th year and the 20th year. Well, according to Nehemiah, the 2nd chapter, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, which was, and can be proven by history just as easy as you can prove when Abraham Lincoln was elected president, which was 445 B.C. Well, then you take 445 plus 32 years, you see, and then take the days of the month, and then the difference, because the days of the biblical month and the biblical biblical month was 30 days. A year was 360 days. So when you manipulate the days and add them up from the calendar, well, regardless of whether a man believes this prophecy or not, he gets within. One man wrote a book, The Coming Prince, by Sir, what was his name, Lord Anderson. He wrote a book and proved that it was that if you take Jesus, this point here, onto the Messiah, which is his entry into Jerusalem, he's got it to the day. And as far as I know, there have been books challenged, scientists and other religious students of chronology to challenge his, where he's wrong. And so far, I've never heard of it being proved wrong. I've heard it questioned a time or two and think that there might be a mistake, but regardless of their position, they'll admit that this man has calculated it to within less than a month of the time that of the time of Christ's ministry, see. And most of them will admit that it's to the day. Dr. Criswell, First Baptist Dallas, he admits that, I mean, he's had, he hired men, mathematicians and astronomers and so on that deal in this type of business, to make a study of that. And they didn't find the work in the Common Prince. They couldn't find any flaw in it. And other men, before they accepted it, had people to make a thorough study on the days. So, regardless, without getting into the technicalities of it, we know that 445 plus 32 gets us pretty close to 483. See, it's got to be 483 years if it's to the day, to the day. See? And that gives you 476. So you're within just less than a half dozen years of that period. So it's close enough so that a man wouldn't know exactly the day that it occurred, and yet it's close enough to know that Daniel knew what he was talking about. That is the vision that God gave Daniel. And that's one of the reasons why the the critics want to do away with this, with Daniel as a prophecy, because it's too accurate. Well, then it says, during this period of time now, the walls, the temple, Jerusalem, would be built.
And it would have been 400 years.
Yeah, well, during these 62 periods. Well, but we find out, you see, that it was 7 weeks. Now notice, he breaks these 70 weeks into a period of 7, 62, and 1. And that totals to 70. So, we know that the temple was built, it took 49 years to build the temple. See? So, that's the seven, that's the first 7 weeks. 7 times 7 is 49. So, that's when the temple was rebuilt, the walls rebuilt. Nehemiah never had been in Jerusalem. He was born in Babylon. And word came to him, his brothers came down there and told him, he said, the city is in shambles. And well, he got permission then to go up to see about it. And he stayed up there, and that night, you know, he took a midnight ride to Paul Revere, and he went all the way around that thing, and he viewed the temple. Well, so he built the walls. And, of course, there was a lot of trouble, but it was in troublous times, see? Now that's prophecy. Now it says, and after 62 weeks, see, that is, after the 62 weeks, plus the 7 weeks, 7 weeks that expired first, and then after the 62, which was after 69 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off. Now, he wasn't cut off in the 69th week. See, it expired until the Messiah was the terminal point of the 69 weeks unto the Messiah. See, whatever day, whether that was a triumphal entry, and apparently that's correct, see, or it is baptism, as some say, regardless of which, see, you're within months of the same termination point. All right? Now, but after the 69th week, shall the Messiah be cut off and have nothing? That is, have no kingdom. He'd have no, see, he's been talking about this man, Nebuchadnezzar, the Medes and Persians, and the Grecians, Alexander, that, these had kingdoms, and then this one, took the kingdom from that man, and so on. But now, he tells us that when they waxed great, well, then they was cut out, you see. Alright, now then here you have the cutting off of Jesus, the Messiah, but he didn't have any kingdom. See, he didn't crush the Roman kingdom. It didn't become subject to it. Alright, then, now this shows you now that we're in a period here after the 69th, but now, to show you that the 70th week hadn't started. Now this is a pivotal point. And this is where all millennialists will make fun of you studying the Bible like we're studying here now. But now notice, it says after 69 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. And then what will happen? The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now when was that done? 38 years after Jesus was crucified.
The Romans, you're talking about?
Yeah. See, now this is the Romans, the people now. It didn't say the prince destroyed the city.
Not for himself, that means for others.
Now that's talking about Christ up there. The Messiah shall be cut off, and not for himself. That is, he had nothing for himself. The Hebrew says, and shall have nothing. But now, if you want to take this evangelically, he was crucified, not for himself, but for others. See, just like Caiaphas prophesied.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong making application of that, because that's biblical truth. But The point is, I don't think that that's the main, that that's the interpretation here. Because he had no kingdom. He's talking about, this thing is talking about kingdom. All the way through here, we've been talking the dreams, the visions, and the history has been the establishing of a kingdom, the destroying of a kingdom, it's terminating, and then the origination of another kingdom and so on. See, from the Babylonians to the Medes and Persians, to the Grecians, to the Romans, and then in the days of the feet of that fourth image, you see, and the fourth, there was 10 kings. Now, it was in that period when the stone smote, see, and became crushed the image. Well, now, that image was political power. That image was civilization, was world rule, you see, in all of its, but under different different nations and rulers. Now, to show that the 1 week hadn't started, Jerusalem was destroyed 38 years after Jesus died. So, and he, this distinctly points out his crucifixion. So the weeks did not run consecutively. See, one follow each other just in mathematical order. Why? Because you only got 1 week, which is 7 years. This had to be done in 7 years. Or he's talking about something that's not in the realm of this prophecy. So, the first thing that occurred was after the 69 weeks now was the crucifixion. 38 years later, the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, what's the next thing? The expression here, and the end thereof, now that appears in the King James translation, you'd say that that was the end of the temple, end of the sanctuary in the city. But now, the Hebrew scholars tell us that that could be his end. See, the next thing, the next event, after the destruction of Jerusalem, it says, and his end was with a flood. Talking about these prince. Now notice, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And his, the prince, end thereof shall be with a flood. All right, that'll be the with the destruction when the Lord Jesus comes and the consignment of the two beasts of Revelation 13 into the lake of fire. See, that's the Antichrist. That's this prince that shall come. That's the seven. That's this little horn that we notice in the seventh chapter. So when it says his end shall be with a flood, that's a sign of judgment, supernatural judgment. That's God intervening in history, in the affairs of this world, just like he intervened for the flood, just like he intervened in Sodom and Gomorrah. See, divine act. And unto the end, wars, desolations will continue to the end. All right, now, see, when the Antichrist and the false prophet, when they are cast into the lake of fire, that does not end things. According to Revelation, that's when, makes it ready then for the angel to bind Satan. And Satan then is bound and put in the bottom of the pit immediately, according to the sequence in Revelation, after the two beasts are cast into the lake of fire. He's put into the bottomless pit and bound for 1,000 years. Then he sees thrones and people, they sat upon them. And then he saw those that were martyred, beheaded. They lived. Who? the ones that sat up on the throne, and the ones that were martyred. They live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But until the very end, see, there was desolation, there was wars, and struggles, and even after the millennium, Satan's loose for a little season, and then he seeks to destroy the people of God. And then when he's cast into the lake of fire, where the false prophet and the beast, see, where both of them are, were already. But he's not put with them until after the 1,000 years. The two beasts are put in there before the 1,000 years begin, before the millennium. So, now, notice verse 27. And he, the prince that shall come, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now you see that? This shows that now then he's, the week's beginning now. This shows you when the 70th week began. When he, the prince that shall come, shall confirm the covenant with many. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now that shows us that at the beginning of this 70th week, whenever it is, if it's already been past history, well then the man did so by making a covenant with the Jews. And then in the middle of the week, after 3.5 years, he broke the covenant. And then, according to the rest of the verse, you have abominations and desolations, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolator. In other words, the judgment. Shows that the war from there on out. Now then, what is known as the tribulation period. The end time, the times of the end. See, now when he makes a covenant, now what this man is going to do, he's going to satisfy the Jews. That's something that nobody's been able to do yet, see. He's going to be able to pacify the whole earth. They're all going to look for him because he's going to have power. You see, and he's going to promise everything in the world, and he'll, and there'll be peace and prosperity for a while. And everybody thinks that the real Messiah has come. But then at the end of the 3.5 year period, well, he breaks his covenant, and then according to, take up the Lord's words in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation, see, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Aren't we going to read about that in just a minute? And now, Jesus referred to Daniel. Look back to this prophecy, the prophecy of Daniel, and he points out this period of abomination, desolation. What is it? It's some man going into the temple, see, and bringing in an idol. Abomination in the Bible is a worship of idols, idol worship. And we'll look on that in a moment.
Is that in future now? Can you tell about that right there?
Yeah, about this.
About to bring into the temple again.
Well, yes. Now that, but it has been done in the past.
Yeah, but you say it is.
But now, I'm saying that Jesus looked back to the history, see, to where it had actually occurred, and used that as an illustration, as a type. See, as a figure of the what is going to be in the future.
Well, did you say that don't necessarily demand that a temple be built again as we...
No.
You want to know it and do their main worship place.
That's right. It'll be religion. It'll be the place of worship everywhere. See? But everybody's not going to go to Jerusalem to worship. Because the world's going to be just like it is. It's not going to lose any of its characteristics as far as its size. Now, there's going to be some changes, improvements, certainly. But as far as the earth is concerned, it's here until the end of the millennium.
So just going in here and doing this, what you're talking about, is that more or less confused now?
No. Now, this man right here, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Now, that's a prophecy of the end time. That's the Antichrist. That's what he will do. That's what the beast of Revelation 13 is going to do. Just before Jesus come back. Now that'll take place 3.5 years before Christ returns.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share with a friend. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.